Good morning. It's May 3rd. It is cooled off and cloudy in New York City. And this is your Indignity Morning Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Skoka, taking a look at the day and the news. Last night, The City reported, and Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg confirmed, that a police officer fired a gun during the raid on occupied Hamilton Hall at Columbia on Monday night. That fact didn't make it into the Morning New York Times. Where the lead news story is a write-up by Peter Baker about President Joe Biden's remarks on the subject of campus unrest, in which he declared there is not the right to cause chaos. As with most other rights, practically speaking, there is too such a right. It just depends on who you are. If you're a college administrator, you can escalate a nonviolent protest into a police raid for no particular tactical or strategic reason, even if it means the people you called in firing off an actual bullet on your campus. But without the bullet to worry about in the analysis, Baker was able to frame up Biden as walking a middle ground between the unacceptable anarchy of having the protesters defy campus rules and the Republican demand that the National Guard be used against the students. Cops wilding out on campus? That's just sensible moderation. In other news about who gets to cause chaos, on page A18, there's a story about the police clearing out the UCLA protest. The chaotic scenes, the Times reports, were part of a tense, hours-long back-and-forth between protesters and police that had been building after violent clashes a day earlier, involving counter-protesters who attacked the encampment, prompted administrators to call in law enforcement. Let's wind back that piece of news writing. After violent clashes a day earlier, involving counter-protesters who attacked the encampment. That's 12 words and a lot of nested phrases, muffled up in the word involving. And with all the agency in action diffused out into a sort of phenomenon cloud. Anything to avoid the 6-word version, after violent counter-protesters attack the encampment. The problem is, if you put that in the story, to make what happened as plain as possible, then the story itself becomes something rude and untidy. Police clearing a protest after violent clashes is just more campus chaos being cleaned up. Police attack victims of previous attack, on the other hand, means you might have to write a whole different kind of news story. Anyway, there's a big 2-page spread, 8 columns wide, of a line of cops and a line of protesters at UCLA, and what bridges the space between them is the armored arm of a California Highway Patrol officer lashing out to either grab or punch one of the protesters. Next to that, speaking of chaos with impunity, on page A19, Adams embraces role of quashing protests. Eric Adams will never stop being Eric Adams. With his inscrutable cop combination of lying, bluffing, and babbling. On MSNBC's Morning Joe, the Times reports, the mayor made clear that he had urged Columbia to take action. It was clear after I was briefed, probably 2 days ago, the extent of the outside agitators, he said, adding, I really encourage them to look into this for the safety of students. Another story that might have benefited from the knowledge of the wayward bullet. Back on page 1, it's Kentucky Derby time. So under a 5-column picture of the paddock, there's a story about last year's equine carnage during Triple Crown season, which is not just an awkward memory for the sport of kings, but, as the Times notes in the story, the subject of the documentary The New York Times Presents, Broken Horses, now streaming on Hulu. Now that's some platform agnosticism for you. Down on the bottom right, Dateline Washington, Biden faces unfamiliar hurdle, competitive race for re-election. Here the Times is taking the long historical view to isolate another potentially worrisome fact about Joe Biden's ability to deal with the 2024 election, noting that through his long decades in the Senate, once he'd won office, Biden never faced a truly nasty and difficult re-election campaign. And now his election, Reed Epstein writes, is shaping up to be the opposite of those long-ago Senate campaigns. Travel-intensive, nasty, and close. A rival is, for the first time with him atop the ticket, forcing him to make a compelling case for his return. Of all the arguments that the political reporting corps have tried to come up with about Joe Biden's incapacity, this one legitimately might be the dumbest and most insulting to the reader. It's a tough distinction, but woof. There's two magic phrases doing an unbearable amount of work there. The second one is forcing him to make a compelling case for his return. No one has more experience in a close and nasty presidential race against Donald Trump than Joe Biden. The only person who can match it is Hillary Clinton, and she didn't win. For this story that Biden is facing some unprecedented challenge that he can't be prepared for, to make the least bit of sense at all, you have to accept that it's somehow harder to get reelected than it is to get elected, which is the opposite of all American political experience, as was built into the premise that Joe Biden's Senate campaigns, when he was an incumbent, were no great challenge. But even if you grant this false and backward premise that running for re-election is harder than running for election, there are still those other little magic words atop the ticket. Those three words being the only recognition in the entire piece that Joe Biden was elected Vice President of the United States twice. He has the direct experience of having won re-election in a closely fought nationwide campaign as one of the three times that he's appeared on a successful national ticket. Now that he's in his fourth campaign and George Herbert Walker Bush is dead, there is literally no one in the country who has more experience running in and winning a national election. The fact that someone went out of their way to put atop the ticket in the sentence means that the Times knew the entire premise of the story was wrong, and yet they ran it. That is the news. Thank you for listening. Man, the helicopters are going crazy. Please subscribe to Indignity to keep us going. And if all goes well, we'll talk again on Monday.